WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, November 3rd, 2016, I hope you all are having a fantastic week. And for all of you Chicago Cubs fans out there, bandwagon or otherwise, I know you are having a fantastic week considering what took place last night in Game 7 of the World Series. The best World Series I've ever seen, and I'm even going to take it a step further later on this hour. We will recap the big Game 7 win out in Cleveland. The Cubbies have won a World Series for the first time in 108 years. That's right. The losing streak ends, folks. We'll have plenty of coverage. We will invite also walk-on for the Michigan State baseball team and current sports intern and Chicago Cubbies fanatic David Greenberg to the show. He'll give his thoughts and will give us a bit of an interesting take on the overall atmosphere out in the Chi right now. We will also recap last night's final Michigan State men's basketball exhibition game, the Spartans taking care of Saginaw Valley State University, but it was not as easy as many thought it was going to be. We'll explain, and later on in the hour, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. Also, talk about a controversial decision for the Big Ten Conference to include Friday games starting next year. That and more. If you want to be a part of today's airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks, we start with, of course, the World Series. And I love how our production assistant, Zach Swiezicki, put this. It was a drama for drama lovers. It was a comedy for comedy lovers. It was everything fans hoped for. And it was just 108 years in the making. Not long, right? The Chicago Cubs won Game 7, 8-7 over the Cleveland Indians, completing the comeback after being down 3-1. Winning the World Series in a Game 7. Nothing sweeter than that, right?
Two down. Cubs lead by a run. Tying run at first. Martinez at the plate. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
Absolutely thrilling, remarkable. I mean, insert word. It was that, folks. As the ninth ended, it was all tied up. Then the rain picked up. Following a 17-minute rain delay, Game 7 headed into extra innings. Eventual World Series MVP Ben Zobrist knocked in the first run in the top of the 10th. Miguel Montero added the second, and the Cubs bullpen forced the Indians to go 1-2-3 in the bottom of the 9th. Bottom of the 10th, I should say. Chicago president Theo Epstein, he's like an Einstein, folks. He has now broken the Red Sox and the Cubs' curses. Maybe he can make his way to the NFL and hit the Lions, huh? We'll have more on that thrilling Game 7 out in Cleveland in just a second, folks. Don't miss it. Please, stick around, all right? The Michigan State men's basketball team topped Saginaw Valley 87-77, a 10-point win last night at the Briz. In their last exhibition game, four different Spartans scored in double digits, including freshie phenom Miles Bridges, who tallied up 20.7 boards, four blocks. The Spartans struggled handling the ball and knocking down free throws, however. The team turned the ball over 18 times, 8 more than last game, and also missed 13 free throws.
signified by Nick Ward's 0-for-5 night from the charity stripe. The Spartans open up the year and during the regular season on November 11th with a matchup against number 10 Arizona at the Armed Forces Classic in Honolulu, Hawaii at 7 p.m. on ESPN. The 6-seed Michigan State field hockey team lost this morning in a thriller. The Spartans lost 2-1 in double OT to the 3rd-seed Michigan Wolverines in the Big Ten tournament. The Spartans led the Wolverines 1-0 at half when Kristen Matalawa's goal. Michigan State finished 8-12 on the year as the Wolverines improved to 11-6 and advanced to the second round where they will play the winner of Indiana and Penn State. The Detroit Pistons lost to the BK Nets 101-109 last night at Barclays Center. Andre Drummond was pulled for his, quote, lack of energy, according to head coach Stan Van Gundy. Drummond sat the final 4 minutes of the third and all of the fourth after only tallying 6 points, 6 boards, 25 minutes. Tough love from Stan Van. Nets center Brooke Lopez, Drummond's backup, he scored scored a game-high 34 points, 11 boards. The Pistons returned to the hardwood on Saturday to take on the Denver Nuggets, 7 p.m. at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Detroit Red Wings, they also lost 4-3 in overtime to the Philadelphia Flyers last night as they have now dropped 3 consecutive games. The Wings were up 3-2 but gave up a goal with 1:04 to force overtime. Forward Thomas Vanek has missed the past 3 games for the Wings with a muscle strain. In those games, the Wings have scored 3 regulation goals. It has not been sunny in Philly for Detroit, who have not won there since 1997. The Wings begin a 2-game homestand tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets and Edmonton Oilers. Next Tuesday, the Wings will get another shot to break the streak as they take on the Flyers in Philly. All right, the Atlanta Falcons travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for an NFC South battle on Thursday Night Football tonight. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have been a lethal combo so far in 2016, both leading the league at their respective positions. Now, the Falcons are atop the division, but will be looking to snap a 2-game losing slump, while the Bucs are riding a 2-game winning streak, currently tied for 2nd in the South. Tampa Bay won the last meeting 23-19 on December 6th of last season. The game will kick off 8:25 p.m. tonight on NFL Network. Arizona Cardinals defensive end Calais Campbell has been fined $18,231 for his low hit on Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. Now, the hit was not flagged, but the NFL has admitted Campbell should have been penalized for roughing the passer. After the Panthers' victory over AZ, Newton stated that he does not receive the same treatment as other QBs regarding late hits in the pocket and that the non-call on Campbell's hit below the knees was the breaking point. Also, it's been reported that Newton has had a conversation with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell about that very thing and stated that the conversation went very well. So, all right, last but certainly not least, the Big Ten is coming to Friday Night Lights in 2017. The conference's new TV deal, which begins next year, will include a package of 6 Friday night games. These games will be played in September and October, but won't include every team. Ohio State and Penn State won't be asked to host any games on Friday because of their huge stadiums, and Michigan refused to participate in Friday night games at home or on the road. MSU has agreed to host 1 Friday night per year as long as it is over Labor Day weekend. Now, Big Ten coaches believe these Friday night games put the conference at a recruiting disadvantage because they can't go watch prospects play. Most high school football games are, of course, played on Friday nights. The Spartans are okay with playing on Friday on Labor Day weekend because it doesn't conflict with high school's football schedule, in the state of Michigan at least. Now, most of the games are played on Thursday that week. The Friday night schedule will include 3 non-conference and 3 conference games. We will also sound off on that new initiative from the Big Ten later on in this hour. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us, Al Martin at WKAR and also at WKAR_sports. So much to get to. It's time to talk World Series.
center. Back at the wall. It is gone. What a start. Dexter Fowler, hello, in game 7. 1-0 Chicago. Well, Dexter Fowler couldn't have drawn it up any better. It's the first ever leadoff home run in a game 7, and it belongs to Dexter Fowler.
Fighting hard, fighting strong, fighting harder.
Drawing in the left, at the wall, it's gone! Tie game! Rajay Davis, 6-6. That's the first home run allowed by Aroldis Chapman since June 18th, and it comes with two outs in the bottom of the eighth of Game 7.
Cubs win World Series. Against Miami?
Yeah, it's something, huh? Who would have thought? 100-1 shot.
Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
They got the power, they got the speed.
Hey, Chicago, you won. You won. You've done it. Hats off. Go, Cubs, go. I can't believe it. 108 years. You have waited for this moment. Isaac, turn it up. Crank it up a little bit more for the Chicago Cubs fans out there. Blast it. Go ahead. Yeah, sing along, folks. Oh, boy. That's a catchy tune, by the way, too. I mean, I immediately went to social media right after the Cubs clinched that game last night. And all on social media, I saw everybody and their mama posting about the Chicago Cubs win in Game 7 of the World Series. Oh, and this tune is so catchy. I mean, it like haunted me last night. I went to bed singing, "Go Cubs, go!" I went to bed singing that tune, Isaac. What a moment! What a game! And I gotta say this. I have to say this. Now, I was born October 7th, 1990. Right. So, when it comes to my viewage of baseball, it's not as extensive as the seasoned baseball fan. But I have to say, folks, and I think many would agree with this, no matter what the age, last night was arguably the most entertaining World Series game in the history of the sport. I know for me personally, this was the best World Series I've ever seen. Goes to a game seven and it ends like that. And last night was the best baseball game, period, that I've ever watched. I don't even know what I can compare it to. It had everything that you wanted in a deciding game in pro sports. When everything is on the line and the world is watching you, it had history. You know, again, the two most deprived franchises in all of baseball going at it on the biggest stage, the World Series, folks, Game 7. So it had history. It had drama. Tie game after 9 innings. And then what happens? The same rain that we got here in Michigan. You guys know it was pretty rainy, especially here in Mid-Michigan. That same downpour interrupted the World Series after 9 innings had been done. So, you know, it's tie game going into extras, and then a rain delay happens that lasts 17 minutes. And I loved it. I loved it, folks. Even though I had to get up this morning at 7 a.m., I went to bed around 2, so that's 5 hours of sleep. I didn't care. I didn't care. That was the last thing I was thinking about. I wanted to see drama. I wanted to see something that you know, hooked me, and that's exactly what we got and more last night. So you get this rain delay that happens, and you sit there, and then they go to the guys in the studio, like A-Rod and Pete Rose, and they're breaking down what's going on right now, what is taking place so far, and they're commenting on the game. Then they go to Smoltzy and Buck back at the broadcast, and they're breaking down what is taking place so far. Then they go back to the studio. Then they go back to Buck and Smoltzy, and then we finally see the grounds crew come out, and you see the fans. You saw one fan, you know, biting his finger off, basically. So nervous. You saw, you know, just looking at the different cameras, you know, in the crowd, just focused on Cubs and Indian fans alike. I mean, the reactions were priceless. I mean, I can only imagine what that atmosphere was like last night in Cleveland. Heck, let alone in Chicago, in Wrigleyville, once the Cubs, you know, finished that thing. But, you know, the rain delay ends and they resume play, and it was just big moment after big moment after big moment. I cannot compare that game to any other baseball game I've seen. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, Ben Zobrist, he gets to take home a Camaro. How cool is that, right? The 50th anniversary edition Camaro. Gray, real sleek and nice. He's named your MVP from the World Series. Absolutely fantastic. But the drama that took place throughout that game, I mean, at one point, we saw the Cubs have a 5-1 lead in the fifth. And I didn't get a chance to see. I actually tuned into this game in the eighth inning because I was out covering the MSU men's basketball game against Saginaw Valley State at the Breslin last night. But it was so funny because the media members who were covering that game along with me, I mean, we were glued to our phones. We were tuned in to what was taking place with Tom Izzo's team on our hardwood. But, you know, subconsciously, we were thinking about the World Series. And it's funny. Every time out, we're checking our phones. What's taking place? What's taking place? Who scored? What's the update? And by the time that game ended and we were in the press room and waiting for Izzo to speak, you know, everybody's glued to their phone. Everybody's talking about the World Series. And, you know, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, two of our PAs, Zach Swiezicki and Griffin Wasik, was Griffin there as well, Zach? Were you guys at the MSU men's basketball game last night? And yeah, and they left at half. They were smart. They were the smart ones because I thought about this too. It's an exhibition game. I'm sitting there saying, it's an exhibition. Saginaw Valley, they'll handle them. Maybe I should take off at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, that was so smart. You guys were some of the smartest people in the room under the roof of the Breslin. I mean, they dipped out and caught most of that game. But, I mean, I got home and, you know, it was in the eighth inning and it was 6-4. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, this thing isn't over just yet. And it wasn't, folks. Cleveland storms back. How about that Rajay Davis home run to left field? Absolutely huge. When Rajay Davis hit that, I jumped off my couch and said, that can't be. Are you kidding me? And you saw LeBron James going nuts in the stands for Cleveland. He lost his mind during that moment, and I understand why. I mean, he went insane in the membrane. And, you know, that tied the game up. You know, we're looking at 6-6 there. And, you know, we go to extras. And in the 10th, you know, I talk about the rain delay, and they come back out, and the 10th inning starts. And, man, oh, man. You know, Rizzo, Almora Jr., you had Zobrist on plate as well. And Zobrist was huge. I mean, that was a clutch hit. And that happens, and you have Montero single to left, and Rizzo scores. Zobrist goes to third, Russell to second. That made it 8-6. And all momentum goes to the Chicago Cubs. So the bottom of the 10th takes place. Indians on their last breath, right? They need to at least tie the game to keep this thing pushing, right? And what does Rajay Davis do? He singles to center. That scores Guyer, two outs. And they're one run away from tying this thing up and pushing it or possibly taking the lead. I mean, just an unbelievable, two unbelievable clutch moments from Rajay Davis. I mean, heck, even I didn't even bring up the Lindor throw that took place in regulation. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic play on both sides from both teams who did not give up. That's how a Game 7 should be, folks. Entertaining. I've never watched a baseball game that had that much drama on that big of a stage, encompassing two teams that are starving for a world championship. Nothing can beat that, folks. Nothing can beat that. Game 7, the two greatest words in sports. Nothing like it. I will say this, though. On the flip side of this whole thing, I do have two gripes that I want to get off my chest. When it comes to Kyle Hendricks, I thought they abandoned Kyle Hendricks way too early in that game. Way too early. I think they hit, you know, it kind of hit panic mode and took him out and relied on the bullpen. You know, I just thought that Kyle Hendricks deserved to play more in that game. He came out, in my opinion, just way too early. Now, again, the Cubs did win the game, but I think Joe Maddon was trying to match what the Indians were trying to do with their pitching rotation. And I just thought that Hendricks should have gone a little further. That's just my opinion, though. And not to mention, you know, when you look at the Cubs, so more so my criticism is coming from the Cubs here. And again, I had predicted that the Indians were going to win this game yesterday. I had previously chosen the Chicago Cubs to close it out in 6. And you know the old saying in baseball, you're only as good as your next starting pitcher. Well, Cleveland put out Corey Kluber, you know? And Kluber gives up that early run, which was very shocking to me. I didn't see that coming. He did settle in, though. You know, and you look at the bullpen, you know, guys like, you know, Andrew Miller as well. You can bring up his name. I just thought that when you evaluate the pitching situation from both teams, let's be real here. On paper, Cleveland had the advantage. Which makes what the Cubs were able to do even more remarkable, in my opinion. I mean, they to come back from 3-1. That's one of the hardest things to do in sports, to come down 3-1, and they did it. They certainly did it, folks. The bats were hot, but again, I thought Hendricks could have went longer. And Aroldis Chapman. You know, I mentioned on yesterday's show how Chapman, I didn't understand why Joe Maddon decided to put Chapman out when the Cubs had a 7-2 lead in Game 6. Rest that arm. He threw 20 pitches that night. Rest that arm. The game is now again, nothing's guaranteed. It's the World Series. It's sports. Anything can happen, right? But rest his arm. You don't really need him in that moment, all right? Trust somebody else. So in the game prior to, then again, there was a day rest between Games 5 and Game 6, but Chapman played in 5, 6, and he pitched last night in 7. And what happened? As I mentioned, Rajay Davis smacked a homer to left field, and Chapman just looked shaky. But can you blame him? When you pitch a guy 3 straight games in the World Series, that's going to wear on you at some point. It definitely is, folks. And what really got me was when the sideline report came through that Chapman, he walked to the dugout after giving up that Rajay Davis homer. After that inning, he walks to the dugout, and the report came out that he was tearing up and was crying. And I felt for the dude because Chapman has been so reliable. So reliable. And I thought more so that collapse of giving up that Davis homer was more so a product of overmanaging than Chapman's overall ability as a stout player in the game of baseball. I just didn't like it. Joe Maddon almost blew it last night. Nonetheless, all that matters is the dub, right? And the Chicago Cubs are winners of the 2016 World Series. Eerie stuff, though. Back to the Future. I played that bite as well in our intro. Back to the Future was just only 1 year off. Now, again, the Cubs didn't play Miami, but still, Back to the Future predicted that the Cubs will break the losing streak in 2015, not 2016. But man, oh man, they were just a year off from nailing that, right? Folks, what do you think about this historic win for the Chicago Cubs? And I also want to pose this question. What do you think is more significant? Because, you know, we've seen long curses and droughts come to a close in recent years. And, you know, one of the big ones that come to mind is, of course, the Boston Red Sox. When they won the World Series not long ago. And, you know, hey, Theo Epstein. I mean, this dude is a genius, okay? I mean, he put that together, that team together, you know, the Red Sox snapping that whole losing streak and winning the World Series back then. And now he does it with the Chicago Cubs. I mean, man, maybe the Lions need to recruit him. That's the joke that I had with current state Scott Pohl before we took the air today. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Theo is just, he's just got it. He knows what he's doing. Absolutely fantastic. But I want to know what's more significant in your eyes. The Chicago Cubs doing it in 108 years or the Red Sox when they snapped their streak. What do you think is more significant? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, where would you rank this game? This Game 7 that we saw last night. Unbelievably entertaining. Unbelievably compelling. I mean, I was glued to my television. Where do you rank this game as far as best World Series games you've ever seen? Call in 517-355-9527. Again, you can also weigh in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin WKER at WKER _sports. Before we hit our first break, Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKER's Current Sports. Isaac, unbelievable game, right?
You got nothing on me in terms of staying up. I got to say, I was up till 4:30 actually last morning because I had to write 2 articles after the game, so running on fuels. But, you know, I'm well in the swing of things because this whole day's been a sports talk radio show, you know, because every single time you walk around, somebody will start up a conversation with you saying, boy, did you watch that game last night? How about the Cubs? Whatever it is. And first of all, I've just got to say, Aroldis Chapman, I was on the verge of total empathy for that man because for him to throw so many pitches. Here's the stat that I saw that I like so much. Buster Olney, got to give him credit for that, tweeted, Aroldis Chapman has thrown 97 pitches in the last 76 hours. That's a tough task for a starting pitcher. And for him to keep 103 mile per hour, pitches coming in, velocity was still at its peak, he just lost a little bit of the control, and that's not his fault. That was a bad managerial job by Maddon. Then on the other end, we saw Corey Kluber, somebody who we both expected to more or less shut down the Chicago Cubs lineup, he also struggled entirely because of fatigue. And that's the point I want to make, is that I do feel bad for the Indians because, and especially Corey Kluber, for a pitcher of his caliber, of his ability to give up 4 runs in 4 innings in that game, that was not indicative of his actual level of talent or ability. The thing is, that was him pitching 3 times in a 7-game series, all on short rest. And for him to do it. The reason was that Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar injured on the IR. If those guys are playing, the Cleveland Indians win this in six.
Well, I would say when it comes to Kluber, Isaac, I mean, he had won two games in the series prior to his outing last night, but I thought he had plenty of rest. 3 days is enough. I thought he was rested, dude. Three games in nine days? I thought Kluber was going to come out and deal. And that was the general perception of Kluber coming into that game last night. Kluber was rested. He was fine. I just thought that, if anything, it was more indicative of how hot this Cubs team has been than a lapse from Kluber. I thought Kluber overall had a solid outing last night, Isaac.
Four runs allowed in four innings? That's not a Corey Kluber outing. When you have
a hot team the way the Cubs have been batting at bat, it's hard for any pitcher, let alone Corey Kluber, to slow them down.
Well, the point is, no one's to blame for this, though. Corey Kluber, it's not as if his pitching was errant just because, boy, he went out and had a bad outing. What I'm saying is, the fatigue played into it, but it's not as if Terry Francona made the wrong decision either, throwing him out there.
No, this is
he didn't
the right
have anywhere
move.
Else to go.
Right.
Now, the thing that Joe Maddon also did, which was very questionable, is when Javier Baez comes up to the plate, it's a 3-2 count, and they go for the suicide squeeze. Mm-hmm. That was a very controversial decision, was not entirely convinced about. But the player who I really have to tip my hat to is David Ross. He didn't necessarily have a flawless game throughout, but every single run counted. And this guy wasn't necessarily expected to play in this one. For him to hit a solo shot, of course, one run ends up being the difference. This was one of the best World Series ever, one of the best Game 7s across sports ever, and just a fantastic game. Also, when the rain delay happened, I was worried that, oh no, they're going to have to play this tomorrow because the radar did not look that good.
They were going to play that game that night if they had to wait hours.
By tomorrow, I mean 5 a.m. the next day.
They'd have kept
the fans there that night.
No, it wasn't going to be that bad. I knew that. I mean, it's funny because I went to MLB Network and they were talking about how the rain was going to hit Cleveland, but it wasn't going to last that long. And it's the same rain we got. I thought it was going to breeze through. Like I said, at most, I thought maybe 30 minutes. Ended up being only 17, and they got the game in. And I think they needed to delay it because, you know, there were some that criticized, you know, the officials for halting the game and having a delay period. I'm like, well, you don't want anybody to get hurt. And at the same time, you don't want to compromise the integrity of the game.
You don't want a fluke in a game seven.
Exactly. You want to make sure that everything is A-OK because this is a game seven. This is a deciding game of the World Series. You want to make sure that the field condition is the last of the problems that could go wrong in that game. So, folks, call in 517-355-WKER, 517-355-9527. What's more significant? The Cubs snapping a 108-year drought or, again, the Boston Red Sox, that team, again, breaking Boston's 86-year drought by winning the 2004 championship. Both products of the mastery of Theo Epstein. I mean, just unbelievable stuff. Let's start our first break. When we come back, we will invite walk-on for the MSU baseball team, David Greenberg, who is also a diehard Chicago Cubs fan. And I truly mean that, folks. He's probably the biggest Cubs fan I've ever met in my life, all right? He's going to call in and give us his take on just the overall emotion of the Cubs' win last night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, we are talking about the big game, Game 7. Last night out in Cleveland, the Chicago Cubs topping the Indians to win the World Series. Pretty impressive stuff. Again, you can call in 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via social media, facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKER_sports. And at Al Martin, WKER, I've got a comment here. I want to read this from Benjamin Grimes, who says, "Go, Cubs, go." It sure made up for the Pistons losing to the lowly Brooklyn Nets and the Red Wings losing to Philly in overtime to extend that streak to 19.5, almost 20 years. I really can't believe that the Red Wings have not won in Philly since 1997. That is a long time, Benjamin. And he also goes on to say, it was thrilling to root for the Cubbies alongside our pastor, who is from Chicago and who is a diehard Cubs fan, along with other friends of ours in Chicago. Thanks so much for chiming in, Benjamin. Very cool stuff. Also, Alex Javarsky, who I used to work with at the Big Ten Network. He says, quote, simply, go Cubs, go. You know, it's really amazing to me just how many people have hopped on the Cubs bandwagon and become Cubs fans. Those who have no affiliation, Isaac, with the team. Those who didn't even know who the Cubs were before the season began. It's so amazing how many, quote unquote, bandwagon fans. I'm not saying it. That Alex is. I don't want to create that or saying that Benjamin is. I'm just saying that I've seen, you know, people that I know all of a sudden, you know, start rocking, you know, red, white, and blue jerseys with the C on it saying, go Cubs, go. And I'm like, well, hold on, dude. Where were you? You know, where have you been all this time? You just came out the woods and start screaming, go Cubs, go. No, I there's something about bandwagon fans that I just don't get. I would never be one of those, by the way. And I saw it. In 2004, you know, I'm a diehard Pistons fan. I remember when
2004, they were rampant.
Oh my gosh, I was riding. You know, I when I really started to become, I think like the height of my fandom was during around that time, even before 2004, when the Pistons were constantly winning the Central Division Championship. You know, they would fall. You know, they would get so close and then fall in later rounds of the playoffs. Then when they finally cracked in 2004, you know, all my homies that I knew that were, you know, big Kobe fans, Laker fans, and you know, fans of the Bulls when Michael played in the 90s. All of a sudden, what do I see? Them rocking Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton jerseys left and right. And I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me? So you know what? I'm curious, Isaac, to ask our guest for today's show, who's a current sports intern, also walk-on for the MSU baseball team, and he is a diehard Cubs fan. He isn't one of those, hey, oh, you're doing well. Let me join this party. You know,
I like Chris Bryant. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this party looks fun over here. The Cubs, oh, yeah. No, this dude is diehard, and I do mean diehard. He's from Illinois. He's been rocking with the Cubs ever since he popped out the womb, all right? Our very own David Greenberg now joins us here on WKER's Current Sports. David, how you doing?
I'm good, Al. How are you?
Man, you have to be on cloud 20, all right? I mean, first off, I just want to talk about it. I want to pose that question to you. I mean, what do you think about the overall phenomenon that the Cubs have become now that they've broken the 108-year streak? I mean, because I feel like everywhere we turn, we talk with, I want to share this story on air because I thought it was absolutely just comical, David. Griffin Wasick, one of our current sports PAs, he was in Sparty's downstairs, and, you know, he sees a guy and a girl. First off, I guess he's in line with the guy. Am I getting this right, Griffin? And please, he's across the glass. If I'm not getting this right, please do this or something. He's in line, and there's a guy in line, David, that has one of Chicago Cubs, some kind of Chicago Cubs paraphernalia. All of a sudden, a girl walks in Sparty's, and she has on some sort of Chicago Cubs paraphernalia. And they immediately hit it off, and you would have thought it was like a scene from a movie, Griffin said, and they, you know, it looks like they were about to fall in love just then. They start, you know, flirting, and all of a sudden, they, you know, maybe they may be married in 5 years now. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure that most of the Chicago Cubs fans that we see here in Michigan have had no affiliation with the team prior to this moment. You being a diehard Cubs fan, what do you think about this?
You know, I kind of go back and forth. I mean, watching the game last night and watching the post game and everything, I got to see both sides of it. You know, I saw, you know, my family and I saw my experience, and then I see the people that were, you know, at Wrigley. And, you know, I'm one, you know, to say, let's not judge them and say, you know what, who knows if they were diehard Cubs fans or not. I mean, I'm sure people that don't really know me walking around campus when I was rocking, you know, my Cubs gear, different shirt every single day, throughout campus, throughout the postseason, you know, they probably don't know me. They could say, you know, he could be a bandwagon or anything like that. But you know what? For right now, I say, if you want to celebrate the Cubs victory, I mean, this is probably one of the greatest sports stories of all time. I mean, and especially the way that it happened too. I mean, going into extra innings, being up by two runs, blowing it in the bottom of the eighth inning off your closer, who's supposedly the best closer in all of baseball. I mean, it was a roller coaster of emotions. If you want to root for the Cubs and you want to wear your Cubs gear, you know what I say, go right ahead.
You know, and when you said, let's not judge them, it kind of reminded me of a verse from the greatest book ever written where it says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So for me, when evaluating this win, David, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of friends that are in Chicago, were in Chicago during that moment. Do you know anybody that was in Wrigleyville specifically?
I do, yeah. One of the brothers in my fraternity was actually, he went up a little earlier yesterday. Mm-hmm. He got to Wrigleyville around noon, and he said it was just absolutely packed. I mean, he said he was waiting outside some of the bars, and it was absolute chaos. I got to see it on his Snapchat, and he was sending me pictures and videos and just watching it on TV. And I mean, you know, I actually came home yesterday, and I'm here today, and just driving through the city with my friend was just, it was unbelievable. I mean, we were blasting Chicago tunes, and we were just having a great time because the city is on such a high right now. I've never seen anything like it.
So, yeah, you went back home. So you're in Chicago right now then, right, David?
Yes.
So you drove by Wrigleyville?
I have not driven by Wrigleyville, but I do plan on going to the parade tomorrow.
So the parade I was just about to ask that as well. So the parade will take place tomorrow. Any idea on what time and where they're going to be cutting through?
I will, if I were to take a guess, I'd say around noon. I actually just got a notification from ESPN saying that it was going to go from, I believe, Wrigleyville to, let me just look that up. Yeah, I think it was Wrigleyville through, you know, Addison, Clark, and down Grant Street. And it's going to be madness.
David, what does this win mean for the city of Chicago?
Wow, I mean, it's 108 years of suffering. I mean, I tweeted out last night that throughout the entire game, I experienced 108 years of emotion in about 5.5 hours. It was just up and down and up and up and up and then so far down. And I mean, just there were points in the game when I didn't even know what to do. I mean, I'm sorry if it's tough to hear me. I actually lost my voice screaming at my own TV in my basement.
Right.
Just, you know, stuff like that. I mean, there was in the bottom of the ninth inning when Kipnis hit that foul ball that looked like it was going out, my entire body just melted into a little puddle in my basement. It was such a low, and then thank God it went foul. But, I mean, the win is just, it's so huge for the city. It's 108 years of suffering, the ups, the downs, you know, the good times and then the bad times and now the great times, because this is where – this is what Theo Epstein has done for us. He's rebuilt this team. He's taken us from the lowest of low, and he's built us up to world champions.
And David, I shot you a text last night right after Rajay Davis hit that homer to tie everything up. And I sent you a text, and you said, quote, "I don't even think I have a heart anymore. I have
That's
no
exactly
words
what I said.
Right now." And then you went on to say, I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, the game is still going on." You said, "I have never been so emotional." I could feel the emotion coming through as I read those texts, because you are, like I said, a diehard Cubs fan. What is it about? Because you brought up Theo, and I wanted to get to Theo as well. Because Theo is now a mastermind of really, you know, plugging two major droughts in Major League Baseball history. The 86-year drought that the Boston Red Sox had in 2004, and now the 108-year drought that the Cubs have now, it's now gone, you know, after what took place in Game 7 last night. What is it about Theo that he just gets it as far as putting the right players in the right mix?
You know, honestly, I think no one knows the answer except for Theo Epstein. That's the amazing thing about it, because in my opinion, nobody else can do that besides for Theo Epstein.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to Chapman last night, I mean, we briefly talked about before we brought you on the show how, you know, Chapman, he pitched in games 5, 6, and 7. He gave up that homer to Davis, and, you know, it really got to me because, you know, the silent report came out and said that he was in tears. He was in tears for giving up that lead, and all momentum had shifted in favor of the Indians. Was it a classic case here of Joe Maddon just overmanaging when it came to Chapman?
I do think that was a big part of it. I mean, you know, there are some things that in postseason baseball, like I think John Smoltz put it best last night in referring to the bullpen and managing. You know, there tends to be a truth serum about the bullpen in a manager's mind during the playoffs because, you know, I mean, if you look at who the Cubs pitched in the playoffs, they really went to they really relied on four guys for three series and for three long series too. I mean, you look at the Dodgers series, you look at the Giants series, and then going seven long games with the Indians. I think that in Game 6, Chapman had no business being in that game, especially as early and as long as he was in that game.
Agree.
Because,
yeah.
You know, that's just, in my opinion, that's not really good managing, because, you know, you have guys, you have a lead. I understand that, you know, it's in the moment and the lead doesn't feel as big as it is, but the lead was pretty big. We had all momentum and, you know, the Indians scored a couple of runs here and there, but I mean, by that point, the game was so far out of hand that it just didn't make sense to me.
You know, I made this statement multiple times. The Chicago Cubs team, this isn't going to be just a blimp on the radar for 2016. I mean, this team can be good for years to come because they are so young. I mean, just talk about those young pieces, David, and how do you think they will mature over time?
You know, I mean, like people say, they're like a fine wine. It only gets better with age. But, you know, the Cubs right now, they are so young. You're right. Their entire infield, you know, besides Zobrist, who played left field for the entire postseason, is all under the age of, you know, 29. And that's crazy, because you never see that, and you never see world champion teams having such a young infield like that. And it's not just that they're so young. It's the fact that they are as good as they are at their young of an age, because guys like Javi Baez, Addison Russell, Anthony Rizzo, and Chris Bryant, I mean, all four of them are going to be in gold glove contention by the end of this year.
David Greenberg, walk-on for the MSU baseball team, also current sports intern who is a diehard Cubs fan. David, how did your fandom for this team begin?
Goes back to my dad, definitely. You know, just growing up, watching the games with him, going to games with him was just some of the best memories of my life. It starts from such a young age. I mean, I'm just getting like emotional thinking about it, but it's crazy.
David, I can hear the emotion bleeding through the speakers, my man. How do you and the fan plan on celebrating? And what does this mean just from – because, you know, when I hear about families who, you know, just are so attached emotionally to a squad, and we've seen so many features done about the Chicago Cubs fan base these last few weeks and throughout the entire World Series – and there is an emotional attachment that many won't understand if you haven't been a longtime fan of this team and have, quote-unquote, earned your stripes as a fan and gone through the tough times. Mm-hmm. When it comes to that emotional aspect of being a fan of this squad, does this make that moment even more special?
Oh, 100%. I mean, and you know what? Like, I'm lucky enough to have witnessed a World Series in my lifetime, but at the same time, I'm under the age of 20. I mean, I've seen so many videos come out on social media now of people over the age of 65, 70, 75, even 80, mm-hmm. who've waited their entire lives to see moments like this. I mean, my dad said last night, and my dad, you know, just turned 50 a couple of years ago, but he said, you know, he said, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. And he was choking up as he said it. And just, I mean, even for him, who he's, you know, half a hundred years old and people older than him, they've waited their entire lives. It's just that, I mean, that right there brings so much more emotion out to it.
How are you guys celebrating tonight?
Oh boy. I'll definitely be with the family, you know, probably going to be super excited for the parade tomorrow. I know my sister's already texting me. Can you take me to the parade with you? I want to skip school. I was like, well, that's not up to me. That's up to mom and dad. But I will definitely be at the parade, and I will enjoy every second of it, soak it all in, because, you know, these are the moments that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life, that one day I will tell my kids, my grandkids, and hopefully my great-grandkids.
Without a doubt, David. And I tell you what, I hope you take a lot of footage from it, and we may even run it on one of our two-minute drill segments coming up, and I want you to keep us posted on how the parade has gone for sure. And I'm pretty sure there are many kids who will be skipping school on Friday to attend that parade, without a doubt, my man.
Definitely.
David Greenberg. David, thanks so much for joining us. You go have fun, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat about the MSU men's basketball win over Saginaw Valley State University last night. We'll also have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports. The MSU men's basketball team has now finished up exhibition play. They topped Saginaw Valley State last night at the Breslin, 87-77. A few numbers here I want to acknowledge. Miles Bridges, who went off in his freshman debut with 20 points. He also had 7 boards. Look at the overall picture here. Cassius Winston right behind him with 18. He had 2 boards, 6 assists for him. Aaron Harris, who began the game pretty well. I thought Aaron was going to go off of maybe 30 that game, the way he started. 14 points, 9 boards. Overall, though, MSU did have 18 turnovers in this game, and I think that you know, the growing pains that you go through when you begin a year, you're trying to iron out the wrinkles, and this is a team that is still trying to build chemistry, seeing as though they are so young, a lot of young talent. We didn't see Josh Langford in uniform last night because he is still nursing that hamstring injury. Tom Izzo did note, though, during his postgame presser that this team needs Josh Langford back and in the lineup. And again, MSU was very small this season. Right before the year began, of course, Gavin Schilling injured his knee, and Ben Carter as well. The transfer from UNLV, and he's done and can put. And I think it's safe to say that his college basketball career is now finito. So MSU was relying on guys like Nick Ward, Matt Van Dyke to really step up. Nick Ward finished with only 6 points last night, 3 boards. Got to get more production from him. He played 15 minutes. Matt Van Dyke, 4 points, 1 rebound for him as well. Isaac Constance, you were at that game. And you actually even posed this question to Tom Izzo last night, you know, whether or not, you know, what we saw, which you dubbed as sloppy play from MSU, was an overall product of just the natural growing pains that you're going to go through at the start of the year, or if there was something deeper. And I think Izzo kind of agreed with you.
Yeah, it was just a rookie issue. Honestly, that's all it is. And that's what you'd expect, too, from a bunch of freshmen. After the game, I also chatted with Kenny Goins, and he described that basically in college, and this is exactly what you'd expect, heck, it's the same thing going from middle school to high school. You can no longer be the guy who gets the rebound, gallops down the court, and lays the ball into the basket. There's so much more strategy and a lot of adjustments that you have to make in order to fit in to a collegiate system. That's what a lot of this is. And Miles Bridges had 4 turnovers last night. Cassius Winston had 3. So you had a few very notable, conspicuous players who did make their fair share of errors. The most worrisome stat for MSU was that when they had the lead up to 17, they immediately let go. Within a 3:41 period of time, MSU had 6 turnovers. Then you saw Saginaw Valley State go on a 9-0 run. So definitely some bad premonitions for this team in yesterday's game. At the same time, there's nothing here that can't be fixed by a little bit of experience. Don't be surprised if MSU doesn't get off to the most prodigious start of this season. But at the same time, this is a team with so much talent, just a lot of inexperience and youthfulness. They'll fix it eventually.
Yeah, they will. And it's Tom Izzo, for goodness sake. And a question I wanted to pose to Tom Izzo that I didn't get a chance to do so last night, but I wanted to ask about Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nairn Jr., because this is a kid who took 9 shots in the first exhibition. He only takes 1. I mean, when it comes to balance for Tum, what exactly is Tom Izzo looking for Tum to provide offensively when it comes to scoring? Is he looking for him to score at all? Is he just looking at Tum just to be a sole facilitator and leader? I'm definitely going to ask Tom that during his next media availability. Also, man, the New Orleans Pelicans, You knew I was going there. You knew.
Wait.
You knew I was going there.
The Chicago Cubs just won the World Series. I was having all these great memories of the New Orleans Saints winning the greatest championship, the most significant championship of all time in all of sports. And you bring up the New Orleans Pelicans, who lost a humdrum game in overtime to the Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Davis still with 9 points or whatever.
Isaac,
come on. That's the least noteworthy thing that happened last night.
You knew I was going to go there. You knew when I saw that flash across the ticker at the bottom of ESPN at the Pels had lost to the Memphis Grizzlies and now begin the year 0-5. You knew darn well I was going to bring it up on today's show.
The Chicago Cubs won the World Series.
We got 3 minutes left, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to poke fun at the Pels. Yeah.
Okay.
89-83, 0-5. Throwback Thursday. Do we even have time for it? We got less than 2 minutes. We don't have to play the intro music. It's a few moments to note here on this day in sports history. It is November 3rd. On this day back in 1899, James J. Jeffries beat Tom Sharkey in 25 for heavyweight for the heavyweight boxing title. 25 rounds. 25 rounds, dude. That's a crime. If they went anywhere near 20 today, that's somebody needs to be locked up, okay? But 25 rounds in 1899. That's a long time ago, but yeah, that's how they used to do it back in the day. 1926, Ty Cobb resigns as the Detroit Tigers manager. In 1934, although Lou Gehrig wins Triple Crown, Mickey Cochran wins the AL MVP. So on that same day, kind of a weird thing to have both of those moments happen on the same day. And also in 1937, NHL Howie Morenz Memorial Game, the All-Stars beat Montreal 6-5 in Montgomery. So there you have that, folks.
How did you bring up the Pelicans? I'm sorry.
Yep,
but
I know.
Of all things today.
They are
also
0-5. You know, if my Pistons were 0-5, you would be giving me the blues on the air, okay?
On Chicago Cubs day of glory.
It was
come
2 minutes,
dude.
It's 5 minutes left. I said, you know what? It'll be fun just to see your reaction.
Fun fact, though, Aroldis Chapman got the dub yesterday for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I thought that was a silver lining in the whole thing.
Also want to note this. Fox says that last night's Game 7 eclipsed the 40 million viewer mark and is the most watched baseball game in 25 years. I'm going to talk about the popularity of baseball as in terms of that Game 7 on tomorrow's show, okay? That and more on tomorrow's show. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. As always, take care and be easy, people.